What's going on, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you. And we're going to talk about a team that everybody has their eyes on this fall, Jackson State. Obviously, they were the team that most people had their eyes on in the spring as well. And that's mainly because of one coach, Deion, primetime Neon Sanders. He came in and he, obviously the polarizing figure, and the team went 4-3 in the spring. They basically clean house. I think they have 85% of the team is new at this point. So this is going to be a tough preview because I don't really have any real idea of what to expect from these guys. Obviously, you can throw out names. We start with Shedeur Sanders at quarterback. Shane Hooks, wide receiver. Corey Reed is the leading returning receiver since Daylon Baldwin transferred to Michigan. Javonte Rucker, Quay Davis, and now Malachi Wideman, who transferred from Tennessee. You have Corbin, also from Houston. Like I say, the list goes on and on. They're gonna be loaded. I mean, obviously, I'm really not giving this list its fair due. And I'm going to go ahead and do that real quick. But there's not much that needs to be said about this recruiting class. Everybody pretty much knows it well. They brought in a gang of guys. I think it was like 19 guys out the portal, I believe. So they've loaded up, like I said, Malachi Wideman, Kevrick Wiggins, cornerback from ULM, James Houston, linebacker from Florida, Antoine Owens, defensive lineman from Georgia Tech, Peyton Pickett, running back from Liberty, Niles Gaddy, transfer defensive end from Tennessee, Keith Corbin from Houston, Grayson Thompson is back, probably going to be the backup quarterback from North Texas. As I said before, Corey Reed, he went to Louisville. He came in and put up some good numbers in the spring. Shane Hooks is a name that a lot of people are talking about, a big body wide receiver, tall guy from Ohio. Cornis Miller, defensive lineman from Auburn. Tony Gray, offensive lineman, UCF. Aubrey Miller, who played in the spring and is a guy preseason, came from Missouri, linebacker. Maljon Jewer, offensive tackle from FIU. Abdul Malik McLean, outside linebacker from USC. Shiloh Sanders from South Carolina. Dylan Spencer, offensive tackle from Tennessee. Isaiah Bolden, wide receiver / cornerback, definitely going to be a cornerback at Jackson State. He came from Florida State. And Javarius Selman, cornerback from Mississippi State. And, that added on to guys like I said, like Shedeur Sanders coming in at quarterback. Dejon Nugget Warren, starting cornerback, came from JUCO. Javonte Gardner, offensive tackle, came from Jones High School in Orlando. Like I said, you can just run down names, and that's not, counting a guy like Keontae Hampton who played who's been there at Jackson State for a minute. And he's an all conference guy, player of the year, his freshman year at linebacker, and a guy that really, really balled out for Jackson State in his time here. So the names, they speak for themselves. The 54th, 55th rated class speaks for itself. It gets tough when you get to this point. And that's, really figuring out where this team stands and what they're going to do. It's really hard to say. Obviously, this team is mad talented. That's no way to take that from them. This team is super duper talented. We just don't know, until the game start, how this team is going to function. And I mean, you can say that about pretty much any team. Almost any team can be said, to have guys that you don't know how they're going to gel together. But, when you have a team full of guys that are transferring in and, this is their first real year playing together, it's going to take some time for guys to get in the groove together. Especially on the offensive line, it takes a while for guys to kind of figure out, you know, where they are, who they are, what their assignments and everything are. So it's gonna, you know, it's gonna take some time, but obviously this is a team that's built to win, and they're built to win now. So that much I can definitely say, you know, I expect that. Everybody expects that, you know, the coaches expect, you know, expect to win. The, like I said, the hard part for me is to really sit down and predict what this team is going to do and how they're going to do, because, you know, at media day, Coach Sanders basically said he has three starters right now. His offensive guard, who his right guard, who he didn't name at the time. I'm sure you guys may know, Jadeur Sanders at quarterback, and Niles Gaddy. I think he's playing one of the linebacker spots. So that's, you know, that's not, you know, that's, that doesn't leave much else. But I mean, obviously, you know, guys, like I said, like Deshaun Warren, Isaiah Bolden, Shiloh Sanders, are going to be in that secondary. Keontae Hampton's definitely going to be out there. Aubrey Miller's going to be out there. Corey Reed probably will be one of the starters, although guys like Corbin and Hooks for sure are going to push for that time. Running back, you know, you got, you know, mainly it's probably going to be Pickett. I you know, it's like you really don't know, you know, you don't know a full depth chart at this point, but, you know, the list of names goes on and on. You know, a guy like Tyson Alexander, who got some good time in the spring before he got hurt. So you really just have to kind of go with the flow, because you don't really have a full-fledged idea of what this team is, how this team is going to gel. You know, they're not really giving away a lot early, as they should. You know, they're doing, you know, they're keeping things a little bit close to the vest. But we know kind of what to expect, at least from the guys who individually what they expect. We don't really know fully what to expect as a team. And that's where you're gonna find out, you know. And like I said, we're not gonna really waste too much time with this, because I, you know, anything I do on this preview is basically gonna be just talking, because I you know, right now we don't have any idea of what that team is gonna look like when they roll out on September 5th against FAMU. So, you know, that makes it hard to make an accurate prediction. So this is probably even more guesswork than any other preview that I do, because with most teams, you kind of have an idea of what to expect. You have an idea of what their identity is as a team. I do know that they do want to throw the football around, with a guy like Shedeur Sanders. That, you know, they basically molded the offense for him. So, you know, kind of what they did when he was at Trinity is going to be what they do here. And defensively, they're going to just get after you. You know, they got a great group of guys in the secondary, and some defensive linemen that are going to be able to make some improvements to what they had in the spring. So it's really hard to say exactly what this team is going to do. So all of this is guesswork. I know a lot of people are just saying, you know, Jackson State going to go undefeated. They're going to mow through everybody. That's always possible. But, you know, there's always going to be hiccups. You know, I mean, it's hard to go undefeated with any kind of team. So you're going to always have those games that may not go that way. And you're gonna have your hiccups. So we're just gonna guess, you know, and jump through this and try to, you know, have a little fun talking about this, because all this is just total educated guesswork. So we're gonna start with the first game, September 5th, 3 o'clock kickoff in Miami, Orange Blossom Classic against Florida A&M. Like I said, I'm a Florida A&M preview. I expect this game to not be that clean. You know, obviously, it's FAMU's first game since 2019. This is basically this team's first game together. So, you know, what happens on the practice field doesn't always translate over to the actual playing field. And, you know, the lights get on bright. You know, everybody's not a dog like you think they are. You know, some guys do rise to the occasion, some guys don't. That goes for any team. But it's really hard to say. So I picked Jackson State to beat FAMU in my FAMU preview, and I'm going to stick with that. I just think that this, you know, I think the layoff hurts FAMU, although I think the fact that this team has played together is going to keep them in this game. I think this will be a close game. I don't think it's going to be a very clean game. I think Jackson State to find a way to win late in the game and get that victory. September 11th, they go to Memphis in the Southern Heritage Classic to take on Tennessee State. Again, Tennessee State is a team led by Eddie George. Nobody's really talking about this team, so this is even more of a mystery than Jackson State. I think Jackson State will win this game because I think talent-wise, even before, you know, all the changes, I think Jackson State was a better team than FAMU. A better team than Tennessee State. Although when they played in 2019, that was a crazy wild affair. So I expect Jackson State to find a way to win this game. Like I said before, when they played in 2019, the score was 49-44. I remember that game had back-to-back kickoff returns basically to start the game. So, you know, I expect another crazy affair. Tennessee State, like I said, we don't know what to expect from them. They'll be coming off of a game against Grambling the week before, and it's going to be interesting, but I think Jackson will win that game and head into that game against ULM on September 18th at 2-0. Now, this is a game I've weighed this game back and forth. Obviously, you know, I think talent-wise, I think, you know, if everything is gelling, that Jackson State has a comparable team, if not better than ULM. Although that's, you know, that remains to be seen. This is all strictly paper. I think Jackson can win this game because I just think, you know, ULM's not a good team, but that, you know, they do have a numbers advantage. If they can use that, then, you know, they may escape. I think it's going to be a close game either way. For the sake of my preview, I'm going with Jackson State, obviously, once I get more into the season. I have a better idea of what to expect from both teams. So, you know, that pick may change, but I'm going to pick Jackson State in this game. A slight upset. I want to see what the point spread is going to be and go from there. But right now, just for the sake of this preview and to have a little fun, I'm going to pick Jackson State to get that FBS victory. You know, and you know, prove. I think this is the kind of game that's going to show what kind of team that they can be, but that doesn't necessarily mean that this is going to be the way this team is all year. September 25th, they come home for the first time to play Delta State. I think Delta State will put up a fight early, but Jackson State will win that game. They get a week off on October 2nd. October 9th, they head to Huntsville to take on Alabama A&M. I think the Bulldogs are going to test Jackson State probably in a way that they haven't been tested all year because they are facing a team who has a very explosive offense. And I think the defense can do just enough to win. They don't have to go out and really shut people down, but they do have to slow people down. And I think that they're capable of doing that. I think they'll slow down Jackson State just enough for the Bulldogs to pick up their victory. October 16th, they come home for homecoming to take on Alabama State. I think they win this game. I think they bounce back from that loss. And, you know, it's going to be tough for anybody to beat this team multiple weeks back-to-back. I think, you know, you'll be able to get them, you know, every once in a while. But, you know, week after week, you know, consecutive weeks, I think it's going to be hard to beat them. So I think they'll get that victory. Alabama State will put up a fight. I think defensively they're strong enough to play against Jackson. Again, we don't even really know how this team is going to be. You know, we're looking at pieces and we're saying they're going to do this and do that. But it's hard to really say because you don't really have a full knowledge of what this team can do as a team. You know, you do know what some guys can do individually, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll do those things within the philosophy of whatever this team wants to do. There's also coaching decisions to take into account because I know a lot of people just think, you know, that he can roll a ball out there and they'll win. But coaching does have to play a factor. You know, you don't have to be the world's greatest strategist, but there's going to be times that tough decisions have to be made. And, you know, the spring, even though you can say it was the spring and they, you know, they weren't really, you know, going all out or whatever. They didn't make the best decisions at times in the spring. So, you know, that can be something that's an issue. And there's also that, you know, the day-to-day culture things that take place in the program. So we don't fully know. And like I keep saying over and over, this is a guess, so don't shoot me. October 23rd, they host Bethune-Cookman. I think they'll win this game. I don't think Bethune-Cookman has enough offense to stay in this game. I think they can make it interesting, but I just don't think they'll get the W. October 30th, they go to Valley. Valley, I always like to say Valley's tough at home. Valley's a big dog in their own yard, but I think Jackson can win that game. I think, you know, Valley doesn't have the depth to stay with top teams in the league. They can keep it close, but they don't have the depth to stay in these kind of games, and I don't think that's going to change at this point. I know Valley's a darling to a lot of people right now, but, you know, you have to look at the reality of things right now. They're building, but they still don't have the depth to compete with teams, and it takes depth. I mean, obviously, you can't just run on the field with 22 guys and win a game all the time. You know, I mean, you can beat your weaker teams with just, you know, a few guys, but, you know, to beat tougher teams, you need numbers because somebody's going to get tired, somebody's going to get injured. You know, somebody may not even be playing well. So you need to have quality depth. And that's something that a team like Valley doesn't have yet. So that's going to be a tough job for Valley in that one. November 6th, they come home and take on Texas Southern. Again, Texas Southern, the team I think going to be better, but they're not there for this game. Jackson State will take care of them in that one. November 13th, they go to Baton Rouge to take on Southern. This should be an exciting game. This is a game that I'm definitely looking forward to. I will be there. Southern's beaten Jackson State like 8 straight times, and I'm really on a streak breaking prediction streak, so to speak. At some point teams have to break streaks, and I think, you know, I think this is going to be a very exciting game. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a physical game because, you know, when you play Southern, you have to be physical. So I think this game is going to kind of test what Jackson State is, especially physically, because they don't have a lot of teams on their schedule who play a physical style of ball. So, you know, they can come through and win this game. I think they put themselves in a really good position. I think it's going to be close. I'm going to go with Jackson State. For a couple of reasons. One, I just feel like it's time for the streak to end. You know, you just can't keep beating the team. You know, eventually somebody's going to get tired and stand up. And this is a different team, and it's really just hard to say what to expect from them. But at the same time, Southern's going to be in the midst of a really tough streak of games at home. This is that last game out of, I think, four straight games at home that are basically really tough games. So, you know, this team could be wore down at this point. They could be coming off of a couple big victories and prime for a beating. So, when I say beating, I just mean a loss, not a blowout. I'm going to say it's a close game. I think Jackson State will win that game. Although, I would not be surprised if Southern won it, depending on how they play that last stretch of the season. And then November 20th, they host Alcorn in the Capital City Classic. I guess you could still call it Soul Bowl, whatever. I think Alcorn will win this game. Alcorn is just as physical as Southern, and they are going to play Jackson State, you know, super tough. And, you know, they have a winning culture, and they're not going to want to drop a game like this. Jackson, this is a tough, you know, back-to-back stretch for Jackson State at the end of the season. And, who knows how this team is going to be. They'll be playing the seventh game in a row without a bye week. So, you know, that could always be a factor. I'm going to go with Alcorn just because I think Alcorn's a team that's, you know, they're really hungry. I mean, that's not to say Jackson State isn't hungry, but I just think Alcorn's going to win it. Again, just like the Southern game or the FAMU game or even the Alabama A&M game, I would not be surprised if the result went the other way. Pretty much that gives them a record of 9-2. I don't think the best case scenario, I mean, obviously you can say they could go undefeated, but I don't count that. I'm not going to really count that as their ceiling because, you know, it's so hard to do that. And it's so hard to do that with a team that you really don't know what to expect from them at all right now. You know, we don't even know the starting lineup week by week, you know, and this is just, you have to expect losses at least until the season starts going. So I'm going to say that best case scenario is like a 10-1 season. That's, you know, everything basically falling into place and, picking up, a really good season. Worst case scenario, I would say 7-4. That's probably like the lowest I'm willing to go. And that's basically saying, taking three losses in conference and maybe the ULM loss. That's that's pretty much I can't see them doing worse than that. That's why I'm really leaning 8-3, but I'm gonna go 9-2 just because I wanna be positive with my prediction. I don't want nobody to think I'm gonna hate them because I'm not. But it's just I keep saying it over and over, but this is just a hard one to predict, because I like to kind of know what to expect from a team. I kind of like, watch a team play and see how they are, and I can kind of guesstimate where they stand when they come into a season. I can't do that right now because they have so many new pieces. So I, the coaches had a job worked out for them. This team, like I will say, it's gonna be tough to beat them later in the season. It's gonna take a very good team to beat them later in the season. So I would say if they were to stumble, it would probably be early. If they get rolling, they're gonna be tough to beat. So that's why I really just picked obviously the two teams who I picked to win the division. I think they'll both beat them, and everybody else is gonna kind of have to get it how they live. But that's pretty much where I stand. Obviously, my prediction can be very wrong, either direction. Everybody's all over the place with this team. I just feel like, and I don't know why people get upset when you say this, but I just feel like you need to see it. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory way, like, oh man, you gotta show me what you got. Nah, it's just I just want to see them play. That's it. I just want to see them play. I see them play, and they if they beat the brakes off FAMU, bro, all bets are off. Ain't nobody gonna stand a chance. I'm gonna go on record and say that if they beat the brakes off FAMU, you can pencil in W's all the way to November, December, whoever. And I pray for the team that's lined up against them in the MEAC. If they struggle and lose, this season gonna be very interesting. If they struggle and win, that 9-2 still is possible. So it's so many ways that this team could go, and it's all guesswork because nobody knows. Only people who know what this team got is in practice right now. And even then, there's no guarantee that it's gonna work out that way on when the season starts. So I'm eagerly awaiting that September 5th game because I want to see what they got, and like I said, I want to see them do well. Obviously, with a team that brings the recognition and the outside eyes like Jackson State, at this point, you need this team to do well because if they struggle, those outside eyes, they're gonna dip on out of here because they don't have any loyalty to anybody really. So to keep those eyes here and the growth, you need them to do well. And also just to kind of string on that. Just because they do well, and even if they beat the brakes off of everybody else, that doesn't necessarily mean that there aren't other teams who are gonna be good. Hey, maybe the second place team is damn good as well. So you still have an opportunity for teams to develop and get better because the bar is being raised. I will say that Jackson State is raising the bar in a lot of ways that teams in the SWAC have to adapt or die. That's my philosophy right now. You need to, whether you like Deion Sanders, whether you don't like him, whether you like what he's doing, whether you don't like what he's doing, the thing that you have to understand is that everybody has to adapt to what's going on right now. This is the wave. And if you don't, if you're not able to surf this wave, you're gonna drizzle, like they say. So if you wanna keep your head above water and be mediocre, then that's cool. But if you wanna rise and be able to challenge this team in a couple of years when they're gonna probably be even better, then you need to adapt to some of the things that they're doing and take advantage of it because people are looking. And if this team is successful, it's only gonna get better for them and it's only gonna get harder for everybody else. So with that being said, man, like I said, I jumped directly into this. I ain't do no intro or nothing. Let's do that. Let's do it as an outro. Obviously, the socials, facebook.com/swagtalk, instagram.com/swagtalk, swagtalk76 at gmail.com is the email address. You can check out the show Swag Talk on YouTube, Swag Talk Show. You can subscribe to that if you haven't. We at 250 subscribers. Ain't God good? Like Dion say, man, I'm dreaming and my eyes are wide open, man. You know, this is the life right now. I'm loving this, man. Thank you. If you haven't subscribed yet, man, go ahead and do it. Hit the notification bell, be alerted to any videos that I upload. Yada yada yada. Check out Swag Smoke on Thursdays with my homie DJ. We chop it up and just talk about all kind of different swag topics. More of a relaxed type vibe, not as numbers driven as my show is. So we kind of just kind of chill and chop it up. And with that being said, Sunday, Valley Day, we're going to preview Valley podcast and video. And that's that, man. Let's get on up out of here. I just wanted to get to the stuff on this one because this is what a lot of people been waiting for. And, you know, I just wanted to put my thoughts out there. So with that being said, I'm your boy Charles Wells signing out. We'll see you guys on Sunday. Later.